and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavitha Fai. Islamophobic hate crimes have surged in the UK following the Woolwich incident, from attacks on mosques to racial abuse, assaults to anti-Muslim graffiti. In this debate, we'll discuss whether the Woolwich killing will be a catalyst for more negative portrayal of Islam and Muslims, or will authorities and officials there in the UK use this as a chance to wipe off the negative image of Islam. We'll also ask our guests how UK's foreign policy involving wars in Muslim countries may provoke more acts threatening UK's national security.
The British authorities are not taking the appropriate action that should have followed the destruction of the mosque. The London Metropolitan Police says the fire at the Rahma Islamic Center is being treated as suspicious and its cause is being investigated. No arrests have been made in connection with the incident. Members of the local Somali community say the fire is a serious threat to Muslims.
They're really scared. They're scared even to go even their own mosque to pray. I think this is a serious threat, you know, and I think the UK government should really address if the people, they cannot leave their home, the women cannot wear their hijab. This is really a threat issue.
The biggest clue as to who torched the center is the name written in graffiti on the building, the EDL. This refers to the English Defense League, an extremist far-right group that is anti-Islam. The group has links to an offshoot of the British National Party, which has two members in the European Parliament and about 50 seats on local councils in Britain. However, it has denied involvement in the fire. The group has been taken to the streets in protests against Islam and Muslims for more than 2 weeks now. It is angry over the killing of a British soldier in Woolwich in South London. Supporters of the EDL and other extremist far-right groups have been clashing with anti-racist activists in London. Analysts say this is a frightening division that is likely to grow in the heart of Britain. The London-based Islamic Human Rights Commission, IHRC, says that Muslims are living in fear after a wave of Islamophobic attacks. British Muslims have been attacked physically, their mosques have been burned down, and their cemeteries have been vandalized. The IHRC says the social media in Britain is full of anti-Islamic hatred. It says more needs to be done to protect the large Muslim communities across the UK. The radicalization of a minority of Muslims is being blamed on Britain's role in Afghanistan and other countries where its troops are based, as well as its support for the US and Israel. However, Britain has flatly denied the link. The problem is that this denial is becoming a breeding ground for extremists on both sides. Only time will tell what the outcome will be of Britain's continued silence on the radicalization that may end up affecting not only the UK, but the whole of Europe as well.
Well, to get an idea of how bad Islamophobia is in the UK, let me introduce our guests. We have Masood Shajar. He's the head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, who joins us from London. Masood Shajar, welcome to the debate. I'm trying to get an idea here from you. Based on what happened in Woolwich, there were at least 10 attacks on mosques, and then there's a hotline, just one hotline by the name of Tell Mama, that said that there were 193 incidents that were reported since that attack when it took place, and it said that usually they got an average of 3. Are we looking at an epidemic in terms of anti-Muslim and anti-Islam action there in the UK?
Yes, and it's not really just after the Woolwich. You know, we have been having sort of attacks and indeed increased demonization, which led to hate crime against Muslims going long back, you know, even before 9/11. But it's escalating. I mean, what Tell Mama has reported, it really is a very, very small fraction of what is happening in reality. Our reports, which was is a qualitative quantitative survey which was done on 2011, highlighted that 13% of Muslims were victims of physical attack. Now, you do your math, you know, is 3.5 million Muslims, 13% comes to hundreds of thousands of victims. And the reality is that Muslims are not reporting these incidents. One, because they don't get any joy out of the police and the security in protection, And secondly, it's just becoming too often, too many. The reality is that is not these attacks are not just by the extreme right. There is a level of demonization of Muslims which is, goes far, far beyond that. I mean, a poll by YouGov about a year ago showed that 37% of the British electorate who vote are saying they will vote for a party which will reduce the number of Muslims in Britain. Now, there are only three ways of doing that. Either you forcibly change their religion, or you ethnic cleanse them and kick them out of the country, or you sort of commit genocide and kill them. And whichever way of these three options is outrageous, that this is the level of the demonization and hatred which has been promoted in Britain. And indeed, the police have done almost nothing to protect the Muslim community. We heard immediately after Woolwich that there's going to be increased security for barracks. Barracks are military bases. They could protect themselves. Indeed, they should protect the rest of us. They don't need protection against two loonies with knives. The rest of community which have been attacked, the mosque, the schools, the nurseries, they are the ones who are vulnerable and need protection. And I wrote to the Metropolitan Police Commissioner highlighting that there need to be protection for the community. And what I got in return was a wishy-washy statement like we protect all in our society, which is really totally outrageous.
Well, why do you think there is a reaction to that effect from the police there? And to make matters worse, Masoud Shajar, we understand that the police have actually come out since the Woolwich incident when there have been these numerous attacks that have taken place. And I'd like to correct myself. There's been 11 attacks on mosques. They have said, you know what, Islamophobia and the targeting of Muslims, it's understated, that it's being reported like it's an epidemic or that it's so a grand number, but really it's, there's not that many instances. Why would they make a public statement like that?
Well, because Islamophobia has become institutionalized. It actually exists within the Metropolitan Police. It exists within our media. Our politicians are Islamophobic. You know, when I said 37% of people are voting for a party that will reduce the number of Muslims, you know, the politician, 37% popularity is actually very important to them. So they're all playing into this public fear and actually encouraging it. I put it to Metropolitan Police that if one synagogue was attacked in Britain, rightly, there would have been protection for every single synagogue in the country. But, you know, there is no such a thing for the mosque. And I go beyond that. It's not just mosques needs to be protected and the Muslim centers, but, you know, these loonies sometimes have targeted sort of Hindu temples because they really are different in among us. They only, you know, using Islamophobia as a legitimate means of being racist. And not really what I have to say that, you know, Metropolitan Police in the last few years have moved away from talking to legitimate institutions who actually are professional in this area and only likes to speak to those in a very low level of the Muslim community, which are not really equipped to deal and articulate the needs and aspiration and the protection of the community. And they themselves are actually making sure that there is really not right representation of Muslim community when it comes in communication with themselves and indeed with the Home Office and others. I think the matter is really of an urgency that something needs to be done. I'm fearful for other centers because at the moment I don't see any positive action taken that could ensure this sort of thing will not happen again.
Well, you know, you talk about how you're fearful for other centers. I'm going to try to test your memory here and rewind. an anti-racism organization, Masoud Shajarian, by the name of the Runnymede Trust, has said persistent and untackled Islamophobia in the UK could lead to time bombs of backlash and bitterness. Now, what's interesting about this, which brings about fear, is that this announcement was made back in June of 2004, 9 years ago. So is this a case where Islamophobia has just been piling on top of each other in terms of anti-Islam and anti-Muslim sentiment across the UK, with the government not doing much about it, with this coming to the surface back 9 years ago?
Absolutely. I mean, the first reports we did on Islamophobia was on year 2000, which showed 35% of Muslims were victim of it. Then, you know, there was one on 2006, which showed that the number has increased to 85%. The numbers are increasing day by day, and the government are behaving like ostriches, you know, hiding their heads in the sand and ignoring. The reality is that the level of Islamophobia is rising to such an extent that, as I said, you know, Muslims are becoming not only second-class citizens, but, you know, in danger of not just backlash, but, you know, much worse. You know, we saw that these level of demonization led to the Holocaust in Germany, ethnic cleansing in former Yugoslavia, and that was the heart of Europe. And it wasn't that long ago. The reason that people in Bosnia were being killed and raped in the rape camps and, you know, ethnically cleansed was the level of demonization that preceded this genocidal act and Holocaust. Now, we actually been warning about this. Others have been warning. Institute of Race Relations have warned. And all the government has done is put £240,000, which is a check-in fee, into organization like Tell Mama, which by its definition is only going to be able to, you know, show only a fraction of the incidents. You know, 240. It's nothing. After 9/11, we had 8,000 in within the first month.
Well, let's take a quick time out and listen to some of our viewers as they posted their comments on our Facebook page for this, the topic of this debate.
I know the far-right extremists are behind the attacks on Muslims, but what looks suspicious is the British government's reaction to these attacks. I know that all this violence against the Muslim community is due to the killing of the British soldier. But British troops have killed hundreds of Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan. But would this justify killing all the Britons? Muslims are growing, notably in Europe, and this means more possible influence in politics. The Zionists will not allow such influence and will do anything evil to fuel Islamophobia in Europe and even in the US. Extremists from both sides are fueling the hate and racism, but they are minorities. We as majorities should not let these extremists hijack us in a religious clash.
So many comments that came through on our Facebook page, and you just heard some of them. Masoud Shajarian, I'd like to hone in on one of them, and this is the way that this viewer referred to the killing of this British soldier and relating that to basically the foreign policy of the UK in terms of the wars that has been involved, for example, in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Are we looking at a trend now that's going to start, which is displaying itself in terms of what we're seeing out there on the streets, such as attack on mosques?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that, you know, if you're referring, I'm sorry, I didn't get the question right. If you're referring to sort of the reason for Woolwich attack, we have to sort of, when you look at the video and you look at even 7/7 video, you see very clearly these guys are articulating that they're doing this because the West and Britain is doing a similar thing in Afghanistan and Iraq, etc., etc. And you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, I think this ideology of the terrorism, which I believe is based on the end justifies the means. The minute that any individual, government or group believes that end justifies the mean, then those would lead to acts of terror. And state terrorism is much worse than individual terrorism. And, you know, when Madeleine Albright, even before 9/11, said that 500,000 children in Iraq who died as a result of sanctions was justifiable to get rid of Saddam Hussein, that was as much act of terrorism and even much worse than 9/11 or 7/7 put together. And those sentiments, those philosophies, are the ones that are picked up by these individuals. Now, when it comes to the attack of the one we saw on the Islamic Center, now, one of the reasons also for that is the fact that all the media, politicians, they're concentrating, associating the whole of the Muslim community, and indeed Islam, with those criminality. We don't do that, you know, in any other way. You know, when Brave in Holland, blow up the buildings, killed 80 people, it wasn't even called terrorism. And then, you know, nobody looked into those hate preachers like Melanie Phillips, who were his gurus, and indeed they continue as extreme Zionists, promoting hatred against Muslims and Islam, to the extent of her book, Londonistan, an actually very provocative title. No one is trying to actually look to those, blame those preachers for promoting and legitimizing these acts. Politicians are involved in the hate speech and promotion of this. When you criminalize the whole community for act of few, then you legitimize these attacks which we saw in the Islamic Center.
You know, I'm curious about one thing. You may recall when the incident happened in Woolwich, the Prime Minister David Cameron, when he came and he finally made a press statement, he said that we know that Muslims wouldn't do this. We know that this is not what Islam preaches. And I gathered a sense of hope in that statement. Why is it that that sentiment was not translated into action? I mean, do you see any signs that the government is going to do anything regarding this rising Islamophobia that's been going on now for years and years?
No, nothing whatsoever. They're ignoring it. They're ignoring all the reports on it. As I said, they only have put sort of 240,000, which is, you know, check-in fee, into sort of a methodology which is not going to even highlight the whole thing. But you see, the problem is not individual words that is said by the Prime Minister. The action is very important. They immediately called it terrorism. They sort of set up Cobra operation and so forth and so on. They made it into a huge thing. I mean, this was two loonies with a kitchen knife, who, you know, even when they committed those acts, and when you look at the videos, people weren't running away from him. They were coming forward and talking to them. There was somebody passing by with the shopping trolley. They didn't have the feeling that people were being threatened. Because if you see a mad axeman, everybody runs. Those videos doesn't show that, doesn't reflect that. But, you know, they turn it into a huge thing. And then afterward, immediately they're talking about setting up a task force to deal with extremism. Well, first define what is extremism. Even within the Muslim community, people sometimes call each other extremists because somebody has got beard or somebody prays five times a day and they say, oh, you're extremist. So the definition, there's no definition for that. It's a very very loose word that could mean many things to many people. And it's deliberately used. I'm very concerned that by that definition, you're associating all these acts with the Muslim community. You're dragging the Muslim community leadership to come through the door one by one, sort of apologizing, condemning, to the extent they become associated with it. We never do that with any other community. And I think all these policies are targeted, first of all, for popularity within the masses that, you know, look at these bunch of terrorists, we are trying to deal with them. But also is in a sort of denial of the real reasons. Foreign policy, alienation, and even anti-terror laws that have been doing nothing except alienating the very youth. In our universities, we are not allowing the Muslims to have discussions on different things. You know, it is banned. You know, the minute that Muslims want to discuss Sharia or Jihad or Palestine, you know, there is a ban comes from sources. In the mosque, they cannot discuss these things. So what happens? They are being pushed underground, and underground is very good place for takfiris to actually reach these people and then misguide them.
That's an excellent point that you make, and I'd like to relate this back to the lack of action by the governments. You know, I'd like to make a comparison here. For example, when the Eurozone debt crisis hit, there were some infomercials that were run on the Britain's state-run TV, the BBC, of what caused it, how many countries involved, what their debts were. Well, they can do the same regarding Islam. They could do the same regarding Muslims, their habits, etc. Why is it that they're refraining, especially the media, from educating the masses in order for it to prevent from Islamophobia to keep spreading?
Well, the minute that we open our mouth in any media and try to look at the causes and analyzing what has happened, these videos and everything else, to try to really go deep into why this is taking place, which incidentally comes back to alienation, to creation of us and them. And this is a process that British government is involved in it very heavily. But the minute we open our mouth, we are being told that we are trying to justify these acts. No, we are not. You know, we are actually need to look at this calmly, without prejudice, and actually try to analyze and find out what's going on. But I think the government is not really interested in this. There is also another element, and that is the whole industry, anti-terrorism industry, which is a multi-billion pound and dollar industry right across the world, which actually its survival depends on creating more fear and more demonization. And that is also a very huge problem and obstacle for sitting down, analyzing, and getting to the bottom of this, because terrorism is something that no one likes. You know, it affects all of us. It doesn't differentiate between white, black, brown, Muslim, Christian, and or anything else. But it's been used as a tool of demonization. And I have to say to also one of the tweeters, the Zionists are actually seem to be forefront of this. And in this process of creating and wooing this demonization.
And finally, 30 seconds, this can't go unchallenged. What can be done? You represent the Islamic Human Rights Commission. I'm sure you're doing your part. How can this now be moved forward by different people or organizations such as yours?
We actually have to, on one side, stop being victim mentality. We are victims, but we don't have to play that game. We need to come up and challenge. We need to challenge this not just in Britain, collectively, Muslim and non-Muslim, but also on the international arena. We will be taking aspect of this to court, aspect of this to UN, and we have to do everything to work towards creating a better and juster and safer society for all of us.
Very well. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking to you. That's Masoud Shajar, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, talking to us from London. That brings us to an end for this edition of The Debate. Your comments, questions, or even topic for a debate, very much appreciated. You could send it to our email address, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Vatakhvay and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.